Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
More identity crises happen in the vacuum of not having a part in something bigger than them. If life is all about me, and one day you wake up and go, this is a very small world, then life isn't really worth living. And so, yeah, capturing their heart and their mind for that, gosh, there is a story being written. It's about God. I get to play a part in it.
I'm Jim Burns. You know, there are so many great activities for kids to be involved in. There's always schoolwork to be completed, also church events to take place. And before you know it, well, you're running yourself ragged simply trying to keep up. Well, sadly, in the midst of the breathless pace of modern living, many parents lose their sight on the main objective of parenting, helping our kids grow up to become responsible adults, and I would add, who love God. The model for mentoring faith begins at home, and during the next half hour, we're going to look at some excellent insights for considering a new awakening for parents and families in this area. Dr. Michelle Anthony is with us. She's one of the leading experts in the world of family ministry, as well as an educator, wife, and mother, who joins me in studio to offer some fresh insight into this vital topic. So stay with us. It's going to be a great broadcast today, right here on Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, smiling today because I have a great guest. Her name is Michelle Anthony. We're talking about a new awakening for parents and families. She's written a wonderful book called Spiritual Parenting, An Awakening for Today's Families. I've read it twice. I read it when it was just coming out, and then I now have read the book again, and I just really, really like it. And I really like Michelle Anthony, who she is, what she's about. She's the director of family ministries at a great church called Rock Harbor Church in Costa Mesa, California, nearby, where we're broadcasting today. Also serves as a family ministry architect for David C. Cook Publishing, married to her wonderful husband, Michael, for over 20 years, and they have two great kids. They live in Southern California. Welcome to our broadcast. First time we've had you on the show.
I know. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I was just saying before the broadcast, you're kind of our poster child, because not only do you have a great message, but you're a mom of two kids and married to Michael for all this time. He's a professor, and more than just a professor. And so you guys juggle quite a life.
Yeah.
Like so many people today.
Exactly. I mean, we are.
And, you know, one of the things that I appreciated in your book, Spiritual Parenting, was just your openness and yet your desire for, you know, us to grow spiritually. A lot of times at Homeward, we find people who say, look, I'm just trying to get by Friday. I mean, I'm not trying to talk about spiritual parenting. My goodness, I want that. But literally, we're in crisis and we're just trying to, you know, get through it. And one of the things that really touched me at the beginning is you said, kids are growing up in a culture which is driven by the message that it's all about them.
Yeah.
And I want you to talk about the importance of helping our children discover that life is really not all about them, but really what you said was all about God.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the focus on children from anything that we do, just from a play standpoint of view to the educational system, sports, and everything is about them, their world, what they will become. And part of that was a shift from decades, you know, years past where children were seen, not heard, you know, so then this pendulum swings and then it's now all of a sudden all about them. And I think more identity crises happen in the vacuum of not having a part in something bigger than them. I mean, if life is all about me, and one day you wake up and you go, this is a very small world, then life isn't really worth living for. And so, capturing their heart and their mind for that, gosh, there is a story being written. It's about God. I get to play a part in it.
Yeah, and I love how you said that. I saw that as a theme in this book and a theme in your message, that we actually get to play a part in God's plan for this world.
Yeah.
And how much more exciting than, you know, just looking after each other. You know, in the 1980s, the number one book was a book called Looking Out for Number One. And, you know, it was a secular book totally, and it was an empty book.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it was because of that. And yet the fact is that parents today, oftentimes, they're making decisions based on whatever their kids need.
Right.
And that really isn't a good thing. Another thing that you say at the beginning of your book, you talk about culture, and you say, as spiritual parents, we enlist ourselves as students of our culture. What do you mean by that?
We enlist ourselves as students. I think as parents, we sometimes obviously oftentimes play the role of teacher. Yeah. But we also have to enlist ourselves as students of both our children and the culture our children are in. So we have to be learners of the unique time in history that our children are being raised, the unique nuances. It's not exactly the way it was when we were being raised. And also the uniqueness of the fingerprint that God has placed on each child. So I talk about how easy it would be just to adopt a parenting style, like in our home, da-da-da-da-da. And while you want traditions and you want norms and things for your kids to follow, there's a unique pattern to each child of how God designed him or her for the plans he has for them to accomplish. Yeah. And as we learn that, it's that training up the child in the way he should go, that uniqueness to who they are, that really specializes our parenting to get in line with what God's Spirit is doing in that child's life.
And you have two kids. We have three. And at least my experience was we thought we were figuring out with Christy. And then all of a sudden, Rebecca comes totally different, interest and totally different bent in what Christy was excited about, even spiritually. You know, Rebecca had no interest in it. And then what she was interested in spiritually, Heidi thought was kind of silly. And, you know, I still see this as my girls are in their 20s now, but it's that case. So it's the spiritual bent, raising them up in the way that they should go. We have to help them kind of find where their place is in God's world, if you would.
Yeah, and it's that discovery process that's really bonding for parents with their children. I know that you probably hear this a lot, but parents will come to me and say, I have some time with my child this weekend, or maybe a split family or something, or they've carved out a weekend. What should I do? What should we talk about? Like, other than going to a movie or doing some activity, I don't know how to engage with my child. And part of that is that they've missed out on that unique bonding. And we've sort of communicated to our children that they need to learn us and our rules and how we're wired and what our preferences are. And we didn't reciprocate that to our children. And not from a place of that we're equals by any means, but from a place of honoring them and respecting the God-given imprint.
Yeah. Hey, well, it's great. You got to this place, you said, that you were, you were like, wow, how do I do this? What did you do personally to kind of make some changes to make it better?
And I became a student not only to understanding how God had wired my children, but I had to become a student again of God's word and his character. And for me, Jim, the first kind of aha was that I wasn't first in charge. Like, I wasn't, these were words from my daughter, actually, when she was having a tantrum and I was trying to get her to do what I needed her to do. And she just blurted out that she didn't have to obey me because I was only third in charge. And, I listened to her a little bit more and she said, well, you're third in charge because first God's in charge, then daddy, then you. I'm like really low on the totem pole. And,
I'm laughing at that because I think we heard that too. And it's like, yeah, that's a good line. But, it's a good thing to hear.
And when she said I was third in charge, you're upset and I'm emotional and I'm crying. I get her crying and I reduced myself down to this thing. And in defeat, I cried out to God, realizing that what she had said was super profound. It was true. I'm not first in charge. I needed to go to God. And he needed to direct me. And so some of the real practical things was just pausing in any moment of discipline or in playtimes together or how I was going to chart my day. And to say, since you're first in charge, both in my life and in my child's life, how is it that you want me to use this time? And, it wasn't that it was always super, super clear, but that posture of my heart at least, started allowing me to flex that muscle. And then I think, secondly, trying to have a more eternal perspective about their actions. So in the moment, I might be embarrassed in public, and I think so much we manage our children's behavior based on how we'll be perceived, and trying to get away from this moment to what is the bigger picture of that? What is the character that needs to be developed in my child that will last them? And then also just how does God father me? I had to relearn that because we kind of gain our understanding of God as father through our own fathers or for other perceptions. And so many of those are inaccurate. And so as I started just really going back to God's word of who is he as father? How does he father me? And might that be a model for how I'm supposed to father my children, even though I'm imperfect, but I can rely on him for strength? Those were some of those thought process and practical things.
And it is a process. You kind of go two steps forward, a step back.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, there's the process. You know, in many ways, I just finished a book on teens, Teenology, it's called, for how to raise great teens or whatever. And one of the thoughts on it is exactly what you just said. And basically, it's stay calm, relinquish your will to the will of God, relinquish your children to God, get as emotionally and spiritually healthy as you can, and hold on. And, you know, I wish it was more positive. And there's lots of positive things. But basically, what you're saying, Michelle, is that we've got to get our own stuff together, and then we'll do a better job of helping our kids grow spiritually. This is, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Michelle Anthony is with us. We're talking about a new awakening for parents and families. We'll be right back with a lot more. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
This is a great conversation that we're having here on the Homeward broadcast featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Michelle Anthony. If you missed any part of the first segment, you can go back to homeward.com and we're archiving the audio there, or you can podcast with us through iTunes. But make sure that you don't miss a minute of any of the Homeward programming. It is as relevant as you need for the parenting season. Parenting changes so quickly, more grandparents getting involved in the Parenting Act as well. And Homeward is here to keep you informed with the tools that you need to be the kind of parent that your kids need. Find out more at homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. We're talking with Michelle Anthony, A New Awakening for Parents and Families. She's the director of family ministries at really what I think is one of the finest churches in America. It's called Rock Harbor Church. It's in Costa Mesa, California, kind of around the corner from where we're at. And she's married to Michael. She has two children and is just doing amazing things in family ministry. I always tell people that she's the one that people should come and kind of check out what's going on. They're doing great stuff. Michelle, one of the things that you said in your book, and you use Psalm 78, and you said it kind of gives us a blueprint on how God chooses to enable us to pass faith from one generation to the next. I was telling you before the broadcast that when people come to the Homeward website, we were shocked that their number one reason is to help transfer faith and help build a, you know, a legacy of faith. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's neat.
Right.
And our brand new website, which you can go to homeward.com and look at, and it's an incredible website, and it's just up. But that website, people are coming looking for that. And you say one of the things is we need a blueprint. You use Psalm 78. Talk about a blueprint, because I find a lot of times mom and dad aren't on the same page. Even Christians are not on the same page when they're raising their kids.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and in a perfect world, we would be, right? And so, spiritual parenting for me is not perfect parenting. It's not even that everybody's on the same page. But you know, anything that's worth doing has a plan, right? And I think when we look at the brevity that we have our children and the importance and the responsibility that we were given to raise our children, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we sit down and say, you know, what is sort of our blueprint, our mission statement? What is the goal, really? Is our goal just to get through the day, just to wake up and do it all over again?
Right.
And destroy our marriage in the process and, you know, be completely, you know, out of touch with, you know, anything else except doing this? Or is there something bigger? And I love Psalm 78 because it gives this big picture, inspiring view of passing on faith, like you said. And really the, you know, it talks about how God designed for parents to tell these stories to their children, and then those children would tell it to their children, and that faith would be passed on from generation to generation toward those who are even yet to be born.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to read it. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born.
Yeah.
And they in turn would tell their children. It's just amazing. Yeah, it's an amazing.
Story. And then it kind of goes on so that they would not be a rebellious generation like their forefathers. And so you see this blueprint design of that it was really the home where God wanted that to happen. And we've kind of gotten our focus off of that. I think in Christian education, we looked and we said, gosh, the home is being destroyed. It's breaking down. So as the church, we kind of wrote in as the Calvary, we'll now take over passing on faith to the next generations. And the church was always to be the light. It was always to be a place of equipping for the sake of the gospel. But God's best design is that faith would germinate in the hearts of children through their parents. And it would go on for generations that way, with eyes to see future generations. And when you're only just trying to get through the day, you're not thinking of the children right. yet to be born.
Right. Well, one of the things you said was even our job is to raise our children to be responsible adults who love God, say. I'm paraphrasing you.
Right.
But in reality, we're not even there, let alone generational
right.
stuff.
Right.
And I think there are some things, practical things that we can do to do that. And,
right.
and I want to focus a little bit on that, because I think you guys had this time when you began to encourage your children. You started you said we start blessing our kids at bedtime when they were young. We bless them before school as we drop them off at a sports practice. We bless them. So that, in a practical way, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, I became fascinated with some of the Old Testament practices, because as you look back to the original good design, and oftentimes people will say, gosh, the New Testament doesn't give a lot of advice for marriage and family. You know, it has these little pockets, especially parenting. And I've kind of come to conclude, because I don't think it shifted that much from his original ideas that he had placed in the Old Testament. So I really went back to that. And one of the things that a father did, especially, was to bless his children, and that they would crave it, they would ask for it. Now, in that culture, it had some ramifications for, you know, inheritance and such, but there was this strength, almost prophetic utterance that came from a father on the child. And I thought back in the times of my father and the things that he had said to me, or the things that he continues to say to me, there's just a conviction with that. And so why not redeem that for this generation? Of course, in many situations, we are a fatherless generation. And so God can rise up other people to do that. But that form of a blessing where you're speaking with authority, you're speaking with God's authority, but it's been entrusted to you to speak truth. Sometimes a blessing, we would just read scripture over
right,
our children.
Right, us too.
Sometimes it's just a prayer, but it's a prayer that has like maybe a different tone.
Right.
If I was praying for my daughter, I would say, Lord, today I bless Chantel with words of wisdom to come out of her mouth, words of encouragement as she speaks to those. Father, I bless her with your love because you've lavishly poured it out. I bless her with your grace. And there's kind of just like as if you're pouring. I mean, the scripture talks about pouring oil over the head of Aaron. He was the high priest. It was just like they could just bathe in it and hear those words. And I think I was convicted because I prayed for my children, but I didn't always pray it out loud, so they couldn't hear it. And the spoken word can be so powerful of an encouragement as they're going through their day, and even set up an expectation. So sometimes as they were leaving, and I would bless them, like, God bless their words to be gracious to those who need it. And then kind of sending them out, like, I wonder who he'll put in your path. And then they come home, you're at the dinner table, or you're doing homework or scurrying about, like, who were you able to encourage with gracious words?
Yeah, no, and that's a great thing to do. You know, in our family, I had an experience just recently where one of the things I did, and I wish I did it more often, but I would take a scripture and it was prophetic. I would say it to the children, and then I would hand it to them. And you know, they were teenagers, and sometimes they were, you know, their eyes would roll.
Right.
I'm going, this isn't supposed to be like this. They're supposed to say, thank you, Dad. You're an amazing dad for even giving me this. And the other day, my daughter Becca she's a missionary in Ecuador, and she came home for a graduation with Heidi, who graduated from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo a short time ago. And I saw the little blessing thing fell out of her Bible.
Wow.
And I said, hey, what's that? And she goes, hey, I kept that. I've kept that. And there were others, but she said, this was very important to me. And this was a time when she really wasn't necessarily walking the way she is now in terms of holding babies who've been abandoned in an orphanage in Quito, Ecuador. I mean, it's a pretty incredible story. But, God, I almost get choked up thinking about it. But then Heidi said, hey, you know, I have those. And Christy said, I've kept all those. We happen to be in a family thing. And I just went, oh, my goodness. Because I didn't know that, the power of that. And frankly, it was a little geeky because the other parents weren't doing that.
Right.
But what you're saying is, no, bless them, and bless them verbally sometimes.
Yeah. And in written word, I think that can be a blessing. I mean, we take white erase markers and I write on their mirror. So they'll go get ready and it's easy to wipe off, but it can be written, like you say, put little notes and it can be spoken. But I think you make a really good point. I watch parents. parents who you said earlier, being spiritually and emotionally as healthy as you can be.
Yeah.
Because I think I watch parents take too many cues from their children.
Right.
So if they roll their eyes or they don't seem to appreciate it, we think, well, then we shouldn't do that. And I really think that that's where we have to go back to first in charge.
Yes.
And say, these are the things that we know are right, regardless of how they react.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, we don't have much time left, but I want you to take the final moments to actually, you know, kind of give me your input on something that you said. You said, if I know that spiritual growth comes out of painful trials, why do I try to protect my children from similar experiences?
Yeah, that's when I'm still unpacking. That's probably why I wrote it as a question.
Yeah.
But as I look at my own life, the places, if I could chart it out on a chart, like my spikes of growth or deep communion with God, or just the time where I felt like, ah, oh, yes, I get this. This is a relationship, as opposed to times where it's just dry and you're walking solely by faith. They were in times of trial. They were in times of painful tribulation or just situations. And yet I found myself wanting to rescue my children. And that's a mom and dad thing. We just don't want them to suffer. We try to make their life as neat and as tidy and as carefree as possible. And I think that we sabotage inadvertently and not knowingly. We sabotage sometimes the things that God is intentionally bringing into their life to help grow them or to cause them into dependence, and for Him to teach them things about Him being trustworthy and provider and comforter. And so we have to have incredible wisdom and discernment. Again, our relationship with God is so primary in this. Like, we can't give away something we don't have. So it's really about us as parents saying, I'm going to just go after this relationship with God because I'm passing on that faith. We can't pass on that.
Right. So it's a great conversation and a great reminder. And we'll put on the oxygen mask first, and then you put it on your children.
Right.
So, well, in many ways, we have to do that spiritually as well. Thank you for being with us. You got to come back. We have to keep talking about
this. Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Tim.
Great book, Spiritual Parenting. You know, as we close, I want to actually give a story that I might have given before on the broadcast, but it's just so meaningful to me because I had no idea of the power of the blessing. Is when my kids were young, I would pray with them every night that I was in there, and I would put a little sign of the cross on their forehead. And when I would do that, everybody but Heidi seemed to think it was okay. She didn't want to get pimples on her face. So she said, Dad, can you just do it without touching the forehead? But, you know, years later, Christy had gone away to a Christian college. She had moved back in after some tougher times in her life, painful times, what Michelle was talking about. I went in, I said, you know, Christy, I haven't prayed with you in this room for a long time. Do you mind if I pray with you? She was in bed reading or something. And so I prayed with her, and then I started to walk away, and she took my hand and she had me put the sign of the cross on her forehead. And I walked out with a tear in my eye, believe me. But I also realized that blessing when they were younger, that they didn't really always respond to, and Heidi didn't want me to even touch that skin, was very meaningful to them. I want to say that to you as a parent today. Let me just cup your face and say, look, this is not easy. Nobody's talking about spiritual parenting is not easy, but it is so much more important than probably just getting through till Friday. And please know, as Michelle Anthony would say the same thing, it's not easy getting through till Friday. But look at it with an eternal perspective. And then as you train up your child, they will come back. It's not always easy. Some of you need to hear that today. Roger?
Yeah. Well, on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we've been talking about this new awakening for parents and families, and you've been listening to Dr. Jim Burns and his special guest, Dr. Michelle Anthony, author of the book Spiritual Parenting. And Jim has written some great books on this topic as well. One I wanted to recommend here in the closing moments of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast is his book, Confident Parenting. This is a book that is so practical. It's gotten so many great reviews and some noted people. Shawnee Feldhahn really recommends this book, and there are many others. Max Licato recommends the works of Dr. Jim Burns. The thing about Confident Parenting is, sometimes as parents, we know what to do. We just lack the confidence to actually do it. And you'll get that information and that encouragement when you order a copy of Jim's book, Confident Parenting, from Homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.